The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. I feel good today, and I didn't sleep last night. I had this disaster in the Sessmatt household that I've got to talk about here in a minute. Michael Fabiano, speaking of disasters, the biggest cowboy wonk in the world, the Fantasy Football Hall of Famer, though, right there on the set of the NFL Network. He will be with us at 10:35 this morning. We will talk with Michael about all things fantasy football, get your teams together for the coming week. I lost by 2 last night because Tyler Eifert couldn't catch a football in the second half. It's just dreadful. Boy, there's a lot going on. There's some interesting stuff. Eric is back. Eric takes all this time off, disappears, doesn't come to work. Just is, I'm here slaving away and
disappears.
Where were you yesterday? What city were you in?
I was in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's disappearing.
Yeah, it's funny how I go on vacation and I get a text message. Hey, are you on the road yet? No. Why? The Coyotes are holding a press conference.
Yeah.
I am on vacation.
No, you're never on vacation with this job.
I am on. Monday was a vacation day.
This job does not have vacation.
I read your text and I was like, 24/7. I was like, okay. If he wanted me back, I'd have to leave Vegas at like 7 a.m, which wasn't happening.
Right. I just was merely asking.
And I'm on vacation.
I was just merely asking if you're in the vicinity. If you're in the vicinity.
I would
remember Randy Johnson was traded on Christmas Day. Sports never stops. Doesn't stop. Last time I checked, just still happens. It's fine. You sound cranky about this.
It was vacation.
It was just a text. I even talked to you last night. You didn't voice your displeasure.
No,
why do you have to air your laundry here?
No,
on the
air? Because
what
it's
is your
public
problem?
It's because now we're on. I mean, now we're streamed. We have no secrets.
No, that's right.
So we have no secrets.
So my secret is, well, I don't have any secrets. So last night it's 10 o'clock.
Yeah, tell me about this disaster.
It was a disaster.
You're here, so
it was a disaster.
Wasn't been that disastrous.
So we do not have an extension ladder in the Sessmatt household. The compound does not have an extension ladder.
You're six
so
feet eight. Do you need
six
extension
feet eight?
Ladder?
Well, when your smoke alarms are in vaulted ceilings, you need to have an extension ladder. But me being me, I don't think of these things. So when it's 10 o'clock last night and I'm in my office, I hear the beep, beep, right?
I know that sound. It's the worst.
And I walk into my my place of sleep, and the girl that I sleep with for the last 28 years, who's a Charger fan, and I look up, I'm like, dang, that's pretty high. I don't think my ladder reaches. So what are you supposed to do? I mean, guys, have you been in this spot before? Am I just a dope because I do not have an extension ladder hanging around the house? No, of course. We moved to the other side of the house. And on the other side of the house, at 4 o'clock this morning, I hear a beep, beep, right? So that was my night. So I'm in a fine mood today. I'm willing to sword fight. I'm willing to do knife, whatever it takes on the air today. Just, I'm a little chippy. Happens. On the sports front, we're putting together a TV show this morning. TV show's on Fox Sports Arizona tonight at 6 till 7 and 10 till 11 tonight. There's no Coyotes and there's no Suns games tonight. Tomorrow night, the Suns play and the Coyotes play. So we'll be on before and after, whatever. But I'm putting together the TV show today and I'm watching it as we're rolling it back and really liking the vibe of the TV show. Put some video up of ASU just getting crushed by Utah and U of A just getting hammered by Colorado. And I realized that, you know, the football season is over in 2 weeks. Like, Eric, it's just flown by this year. It just seems like yesterday we were talking about ASU is going to play at Texas A&M and it's going to be a great game. And that was 14 months ago.
Yep. And the NAU ASU game seemed like it was about 3 weeks ago, and that was the first game of the year. It always goes fast, and then the off season goes slow.
Oh my gosh!
And then we'll be looking forward to the start of college football season, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, we're in mid October.
Well,
then,
but it's like the Cardinals are not out of it. That's the thing. That's the thing that is. As I'm sitting here watching back the content on the TV show and in the Peter segment, it's you know, it is. There's still 7 more weeks of football in the regular season. And so a team like the Giants, I don't think the Giants have a great pass rush, but it's not like I watch the Giants and say, oh my gosh, the Giants are this juggernaut, but they've won 4 in a row. You know, the Cardinals are a team that they've got the running back, turn around, hand the ball off. Fitz had an MRI this week, so that's a concern. Okay, so there's not a chance that Larry is not going to play at Minnesota. This will probably be, I would think, the last time Larry Fitzgerald plays in Minnesota. I don't know if he's retiring or not, but you can't just sit here and look at the schedule and think that there's too many more times where it's going to fall that they go to Minneapolis. You know, the ball boy story and all that stuff with Fitz. So, you know, the intrigue around that game this coming Sunday, to me, there are other bigger games in the NFL. Yes, there are other games that I look at and say, I'd much rather pay attention to this. But the game that is being dealt here to consume, the Vikings who haven't won in a month, and the Cardinals who have been really uneven. I mean, on the surface, you look at it and say, this is a game they should go and win. Should go to Minnesota. Minnesota got rid of Blair Walsh today. Why it took forever to get rid of Blair Walsh, cut him loose, that's just one of those guys. It's a kicker. Kickers can come and go. That's the way it works in the business. But the Vikings do not have Adrian Peterson. The Vikings have Sam Bradford, and Sam Bradford's been fine. I wouldn't say he's been in anything extraordinary. I wouldn't say the price tag that the Vikings gave up to get him after the injury to Teddy Bridgewater has been anything that I look at and say, wow, they're really getting the return on their investment out of this one. They haven't won in a month. So they go to Minnesota. It's a Sunday morning game. I'm not one of those people get wound up about start times, but it is worth noting, I think, because some of you do care, that three of their next four games are 11 a.m. kicks, Arizona time. So body clock to some of you, which is a big deal. That's fine. Again, Michael Fabiano here in a couple of minutes. The NFL has told teams to please stop talking about the status of concussed players or speculating when they might return. So again, the NFL wants to mute the dialogue with the word concussion. And as the season progresses, the last few years, more and more stuff happens on the field with referees, with concussions, with ratings sliding. I was the first one to point out yesterday at the Patriots-Seahawks game the other night, highest rated NFL game on Sunday night in, I think it was 5-6 years. Terrific. Bounce back game. We'll see if that trend continues. Tomorrow, the NFL league offices are supposed to sit down and lay open all their research as to why the ratings have fallen off the table this year. I'm not so wound up about that as I was, but it's certainly worth noting because it was a precipitous drop. This wasn't a dip. I saw people like, dip? No, it's not a dip. It's just a tank. The Coyotes announcing they're moving to Tempe. So we said this yesterday. How are they going to do this? How is it going to be paid for? How's it going to be paid for? So I'm going to get into that as the show moves on because I do think that that it's worth the discussion and to get into that. The initial reaction, as expected, was hallelujah. They're getting out of Glendale and they're going to get to the 101-202, which is the epicenter of Maricopa County. That's where all the traffic is moving towards. Their attendance will go up. I won't have to drive 50-plus miles to watch a hockey game on a Tuesday night, which is why I haven't gone. I haven't gone the last few years. There's just, and the team's not been good. But for me on a Tuesday afternoon to go 50-plus miles one way to watch them play the Blue Jackets on a Tuesday night in Glendale, it's not happening. When was the last time you were at a game?
Last season. I think I went to one to cover, and I went to two as fans. So I went to three total games. So
I don't really care what the record shows this year with them. When the spade goes into the ground and the dirt is actually overturned, then I will probably get a little bit more excited because we've been in this space before where people like us and people on television jump around and get all excited and the Coyotes are staying and then it doesn't happen.
The Coyotes, after they fired Don Maloney, said that we expect an arena announcement shortly.
Shortly.
Don Maloney was fired in
May,
I think.
Sure.
So we got the announcement. It was within a year.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the layout and all the things they have planned. Pretty cool that they're going to have a separate arena for ASU hockey.
Call it the Kennel or something.
It's really cool. Really cool because you don't want ASU hockey playing in a 16,000 seat arena.
Although Gonzaga has the Kennel, right? So
that would be ripping
it off.
Yeah.
That's a play on words with Coyote. Coyote's a dog, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So the Kennel?
The Den.
The Den. Doghouse.
Well, they have the ice den, so I guess we can.
Yeah, that's true. Den sounds just kind of old.
But let's hope that this.
You're a dog guy. Where do you have dogs?
Get this through.
Where do you keep your dogs?
In the house.
Okay, we call it the house. I don't know.
Our dogs are like furniture. They're just part of the house.
So. Are they? Yeah. I see what you're saying. So the paying part of this. So they're talking about $400 million. I heard the press conference yesterday. $400 million. $200 million would come from the club. $200 million from Tempe and ASU tax waivers. So there's going to be a subsidy there somewhere. The word subsidy is not something that they like. And when you look at the cost to build the arena, $400 million. So Sacramento is building an arena at $500 million. The Barclays Center back in Brooklyn was $1 billion with a B. In Las Vegas, the arena was $375 million. So we're looking on the low end. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But I think when we're just saying the very obvious question, who is going to pay for this and how do they intend to do it? For the Coyotes to step forward and say, well, we've got this all covered. Well, no, not exactly. Tempe and ASU tax waivers. The business side of this, because look, those of you that are just diehard hockey fans and don't care where they play, there's like this many of you, all right? And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not being critical of you. It's just a fact. You have to understand the business side of where they're going to put this, how they're going to fund this. There's going to be people out there that say, there's no way that I'm going to spend one dime or penny of my tax dollars towards a place where millionaires and billionaires go congregate to watch guys skate around on ice. There is that group out there. I have seen them through the years. I have talked to them. Most of them are very nice. Some of them are not. Some of them are just of the opinion that you're taking milk and bread off their table by putting a place for Shane Doan to skate around and try and shoot a puck. That group, it will always be out there. They do not like sports in any way, shape, or form.
It's interesting you brought up Shane Doan. I wonder if Shane Doan is going to be playing long enough to see himself skating inside that new arena.
Why not?
Well, he's somewhat long in the tooth. Still very effective.
What are you saying? He's old?
He is old. By athlete standards.
Would you tell him that to his face?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, there's a reason.
He'd laugh and
there's
say,
a reason
yeah,
why
right.
He hemmed and hawed and, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then, yeah, I'm going to come back for another year. He didn't say, hey, guess what? I'm going to play four more years. Like, I'm going to come back next year.
Don't you think with him that...
He's kind of like in that Larry Fitzgerald. It could be... He could play another 3-4 years.
Sure
he
could.
But does he want to play another 3 or 4 years?
Don't you think when he's done, he's the president of the team?
Has to be.
Come on. Right?
Or he'll step into the Luis Gonzalez role of special assistant to the president.
Senior executive vice president of nothing. The old Cotton Fitzsimmons
title. Yeah, the face of the franchise
like
off the ice.
It's like Fitz. When Fitz is done, you can't just say we're going to bring him back for the Ring of Honor. He's got to be like this. He's got to be like Michael's right-hand person.
If he wants to. Fitz is very into doing things away from football. He's very into traveling. He's very into charity work. When he's done playing football, he might just be like, you know what? I think I'm done. Like,
can you
I don't
see
want to
him
be associated
sit on a
it.
Network desk? I can't. I
Not
mean, he'd
really.
Be good at
he'd
it.
He'd be
but
very good at it. But
be good at
no,
it,
but I don't just, think so.
You know, that career path, I think you see guys that get there and it's like, after a while, they're just punching clocks. Like, why do I really want to get on a private jet, fly to L.A. to sit there and analyze games and laugh and ha-ha and get back on a plane? I just hang out with my kids. I try to watch those shows, those pregame and halftime shows. It's just dreadful.
Butch Davis took the job at Florida International.
You get me out of here.
He got sick of being on the ESPN college football set. I'm going to go take the job at Florida International.
So I'm going to talk some college football with you on the other side because you are Mr. College Football. You have not been here, and I have been waiting for this moment. We'll have Michael Fabiano coming up at 10:35. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So we had some good news today. Right before the show, Jason Jewell was here. Of course, Jason with the Recruiting Roundup, part of our team, and he does Rock and Refuel Recruiting Roundup every week with Jared. So he's going to be a dad. So we have a new edition coming. Congratulations to the Jewels in June. That is going to be a big offensive lineman. big physical, strong, strapping talent. So congratulations to Jason. Now, Eric's not been here the last, last week he just decided not to be here. And then he wasn't here yesterday. So I think it's time to talk some college football. Actually, I took off last week, so because I was sick as a dog. But now I'm much better. I'm much feistier today.
Yeah, you sound good.
Thank you. Tonight is your favorite reality show, which is the college football playoff. They have the TV show tonight. We have two more weeks. Is it? Yeah, two more weeks.
Yep, two more weeks.
Conference championship game, so it would be three.
The College Football Playoff Committee really has their finger on the pulse. When Texas A&M loses a game to Mississippi State, drops four spots. LSU loses a close game to Alabama, drops 11 spots. And then the very next week, A&M loses a home game to Ole Miss with their backup quarterback. And LSU beats Arkansas on the road. And, you see why I get annoyed with these things.
So Barry Alvarez is on this committee.
Okay.
Wisconsin is sitting there. He's gonna find a way to get a second Big Ten team in there.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, come on.
Maybe.
Wisconsin, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State. Two of those teams are going to make it. Now, Penn State, in my view, has one great win. One great win.
I don't see how you keep Louisville out.
Louisville's played all these. Are the teams that Louisville is beating, are they any good? Like Florida State has, what, three losses, four losses this year? Florida State's not good.
Louisville has the likely Heisman Trophy
winner. He's going to win.
Louisville has a pretty high-profile head coach.
Let me go down this path, just back on that. Louisville plays Houston Thursday night. I'm really interested in that game.
That's a good game.
I'm really
especially
interested.
Especially because it's in Houston.
It's in Houston, and this is one of those games where now the people that have said he hasn't played anybody. Okay, well, now you're playing Houston. Houston had some of the bloom come off the rose this year. But then you have Herman, who's sitting over there on the other sideline coaching, and Texas is a train wreck, but he hasn't had a great year. So if you're in this position of trying to become the next coach at Texas and you're Houston, Coach Herman needs to win this game. If you're Lamar Jackson, you're trying to win the Heisman Trophy.
Spotlight game, Thursday night game.
It's a spotlight game. It's this Thursday night. I think there's going to be a lot of people voting because, Eric, there's nobody else out there now. There's nobody that you can look at and say, this guy is making a real push. I think Peppers is a nice player. Jake Browning took a huge step back this last week.
That was disappointing.
Yeah.
He didn't play well on Saturday at all.
Didn't show. It's not like you look around the rest of the country and say, Lamar Jackson's going to pass Tim Tebow and Johnny Manziel for rushing touchdowns in a season. Okay. That's pretty good. That's pretty darn good. So he's got that going for him. Louisville is one of the four best teams in the nation, though. Like, I think that we could get a really good game in Glendale. Because it's two against three. Remember this, guys. If you're not aware of this, the Fiesta Bowl is part of the playoff this year. So the two semifinal games. The one game is going to be played here. The other is at the Peach Bowl. The game being played here is going to be the two against the three. So I'd take Clemson against Ohio State. I would take that. I don't know if there's going to be a big shakeup tonight. I would think Alabama by far is number one.
And they'll definitely be a big shakeup. I mean,
I don't know that.
You had three teams lose last
I know
week.
You had three teams, but can you make the case that any team other than Ohio State should move into the top four? Like Washington will fall out. Okay. Washington will fall out. But can you really make the case that Michigan or Clemson should both just fall from two out, four out, because this team deserves to be in? Other than Ohio State, give me another team out there this year that you look at and say, wow, they've got such an impressive resume.
But you're missing the point. The point is these rankings are simply week to week. It's not who the best team is overall. It's who are the four best teams this week. Next week, it will be who are the top four teams next week.
But my point is Michigan, are there two other teams better than Michigan this week? Other than Alabama, are there teams that should replace Michigan? Should they fall completely out?
I see your point, but that's just not the way the football playoff operates.
Sure it is.
No, it's not.
Sure it is.
It's a week to week.
I understand
everything changes in a week.
But the committee can sit down today.
Well, you and I can try to forecast at the end of the year who's going to be there. I'm all for that. But tonight, There's no way Michigan's in the top four.
Barry Alvarez is sitting on that committee, and he's Big Ten. I don't see Michigan falling out tonight. I don't see it.
We should make a lunch bet on this.
Go for it.
Okay. We'll make a lunch bet.
Lunch bet on it. Michigan makes it tonight, still in the playoff.
They lost to Iowa, a team that was 5-4.
They still
a team
it.
That cannot score
I'm
points.
Just looking at what this committee's been
I
doing.
I can't wait for my lunch. And it's going to be a nice lunch. We're going to go to like P.F. Chang's. We're not going to go to McDonald's.
That's a nice lunch?
Sure. We're a startup.
No. I want to go to like, I get to choose. It's my money.
But again, who knows? Because, I mean, they dropped A&M four spots last week after losing to a really, really average Mississippi State team.
We would agree that Washington is going to drop out.
For sure.
Okay.
Why isn't Michigan going to drop out?
But you're saying Michigan's going to drop out. So let's go over to Clemson.
Okay. They're going to drop out.
So then who replaces them? Other than Ohio State, give me two other worthy teams.
Louisville is going to be in there. They're just, I'm telling you, they're going.
But who have they played?
But it's week to week. This week, they are going to be
Michigan
in there.
Michigan would crush Louisville on
again,
field.
We're not talking about the end of the year. It's a week-to-week thing.
I get that.
Right now, is Louisville a top four
team?
Okay,
would we agree on this? Would we agree on this? None of this means a hill of beans because Alabama is going to boat race anybody.
Absolutely. Everyone's playing for silver.
Is that what you think?
Yeah, I do.
You don't think. Now, Brock said on the air, and we're supposed to have Brock, I think, the following week. This was 2 weeks ago. Brock said Washington could play with Alabama. Now, Washington lost two players, I believe. It's two players on the defensive side of the football on their front.
Yep, two of their better players.
So maybe, you know, you have to look at it differently now. But if you're looking at any team out there that could push Alabama, of the teams that I've seen this year, I can't see Ohio State pushing them. I don't know about Michigan. It was one bad game.
And that's the thing. Every team, even the best of teams, has stinkers. Michigan had a stinker. Washington had a stinker. Ohio State had a stinker. Alabama's stinker was a 10-0 win on the road against LSU.
Sure.
And that shows you that they are the best team. Plain and simple. No debating.
So you don't see anybody else out there that could even come close to them?
I don't think so.
Because I don't either. Now,
the way Jalen Hurts is playing right now.
Okay, so do we agree the Pac-12 is going to get shut out
they
of this
are.
Deal?
I put on Twitter on Saturday night, the worst nightmare of Larry Scott came to fruition on Saturday night.
So if they get shut out.
Which they will.
Then you have the Big 12.
Which is not going to get a team.
They're going to get shut out.
Yep. Especially since their two best teams are playing Saturday, Oklahoma and West Virginia, and neither of those are even remotely close to being
top
four
teams.
But
West Virginia does have a path. They have a path. They have a path.
I mean, yeah. But if Colorado played West Virginia, Colorado would beat West Virginia.
You know, his name I heard for the Oregon job is Holgorsen. Helfrich is going to get fired. Helfrich is going to get blown out.
That would make sense.
I've heard Holgorsen doesn't feel as though he's...
He runs the same style.
But West Virginia has a path. It's a hard path to get to. Some of these schools have paths that are still in front of them. Like, you know, the hometown heroes that we have here, a little bit later in the show, I'm going to get into ASU and U of A and the path to Tucson in 2 weeks and how fascinated I am by that. But up next, Michael Fabiano. All things around the fantasy football scene from the NFL Network, senior fantasy analyst, Michael Fabiano. That's next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer right there at the NFL Network, joins us. All things fantasy football. Michael last week predicted with fervor as I was on my deathbed that Colin Kaepernick would beat out Tom Brady with ease, right? That's what I heard, right?
Hey, Cardinals defense, really? 22 points to Kaepernick? Really? Yeah, well, if that weren't bad enough, six kickers outscored Tom Brady, and so did Brock Osweiler, who threw for 99 yards. So, the NFL can oftentimes be very unpredictable, my friend, but it wouldn't be as much fun if it was easy, right?
Well, and here's the thing on this. You know, I'm not picking on you. Nobody had Kaepernick doing his thing, but now I'm getting overrun with, should I pick up Kaepernick? Should I pick up Kaepernick? Where are you at on that?
See, Kaepernick brings that ability to run with a football, and that's where half of his points came last week against the Cardinals as a runner. And when you've got a quarterback who can run with a football, and as long as you and I have known each other, I've said this back to Terrell Pryor when he was a quarterback in Oakland, Tim Tebow when he was in Denver, that gives you an advantage. So Kaepernick is certainly rosterable. Is he going to continue this streak? I don't know about that. This week could be a tough one against the Patriots, but he's definitely worth rostering right now, and it's literally because of what he can do with his feet. Because if you've watched some of the dirt balls he's thrown over the last couple of weeks, he's not doing a whole heck of a lot with his arm.
Okay, let's go over to the Patriots then. Getting a lot of Gronk questions today. A, from your view, is he an injury-prone guy? Just looking at it, fantasy football-wise.
I mean, he took a massive hit.
Yeah, I know,
that
I know.
That was a big hit. And really, over the last couple of years, he hadn't been as bad. Remember, there was a time years ago where, I mean, he was always getting nicked up. But I don't know. He's a big dude who plays a very physical style of football, and that's what's going to happen at times. And, you know, players on the defensive side of the football have to pay a lot of attention to Rob Gronkowski. So his life on the gridiron is not easy every week, let's just put it that.
Okay, are you picking up Martellus Bennett this week?
Well, if you're in a league where Martellus Bennett is available, then no one's paying attention. But he is definitely a startable asset this week. But, like, Zach Miller is a guy you can pick up with Alshon Jeffrey now suspended. He could see more targets. If you're looking deep, I mean, Jack Doyle's got a good matchup. Vernon Davis has been pretty good the last two or three games that he's played, even with Jordan Reed in there. So he's worth a look. If you're in a deeper league, Ladarius Green's playing the Browns this week, so he's an option as well. C.J. Fedorowicz, Cam Brait has a bad matchup this week, but he's also startable if you're in dire straits.
Okay, let me go back over on Alshon Jeffrey. So Cameron Meredith, you look in that direction at all?
Oh, no question. I mean, listen, you've got a wide receiver in Alshon Jeffrey who led his team in targets. He wouldn't have a great year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think people were more excited about him once Cutler came back. But Cam Brait's now the number one guy there, and he needs to be owned in all fantasy leagues. And I'm not telling you he's a must-start, but he's at least a three-flex in some leagues, especially when you still have four teams on a bye. And I mentioned Zach Miller could see some more targets, maybe Eddie Royal in the mix there as well. But Meredith is probably going to be the most picked-up player at wide receiver in most fantasy leagues this week.
Okay, help me out here with Tennessee. I'm getting questions about Matthews and what's going on with the Titans and their offense. Just 1 week bandwagon, or do you see the Titans as, look, if you're looking at Mariota, but look a little deeper than that.
No, I mean, their offense has been – Mariota's been scoring touchdowns like they're going out of style.
Right, right.
This is a guy right now, four touchdowns last week, three the previous week, two, three, and three. And that's just passing the football. He's been great. And he had a really slow start to the season, but he's really turned things around. And playing the Colts this week, Marcus Mariota is pretty close to a must-start right now. And Matthews has also been finding the end zone, which is big. You know, there was a lot of talk about Tajae Sharpe in the preseason. He didn't really pan out. But Matthews is becoming a guy that he's utilizing a lot more often. Of course, the biggest weapon there is Delanie Walker. But who would have predicted back in the preseason that the Tennessee Titans have a very viable and very legitimate offense when it comes to fantasy production with Mariota, with DeMarco Murray, who has been tremendous, with Delanie Walker, and now with Matthews the last 3 or 4 weeks finding the end zone. It's been a pretty nice transformation there in Tennessee.
Yeah, and I've got Derrick Henry just stashed away just in case because of what's going on over there.
The only way he is going to have any value is if Murray gets hurt.
Yeah, right, right.
That's it.
Right.
Murray's been so good this season. I mean, heck, one of the best bargains in fantasy football drafts this year.
A lot of questions about Spencer Ware coming back off the concussion, how he looked last week. What's your view on Spencer Ware moving forward?
Start him. I didn't like the matchup last week. The Panthers are just awful against the pass, but they're real good against the run. I mean, look at the numbers. David Johnson rushed for next to nothing against Carolina. I mean, Mark Ingram, Devontae Freeman, Todd Gurley, they've held some really good running backs down. But now Spencer Ware is at home. He's playing the Bucs. He's a must-start.
Michael Fabiano with us. Larry Fitzgerald gets targeted 18 times. They do an MRI on him, though, yesterday. Where are you at on Fitz this week?
If he's starting for the Cardinals, he's starting for me. With 33 years old, he looks like he's about 25 out there. And it's funny, you know, because I love to look at trends. And the Cardinals fans out there know this. He just kills the Niners. Kills them. I mean, he had 20 points against them earlier in the season. Now he has double-digit catches. Huge game, bigger in PPR leagues. If Fitzgerald's out there, I'm playing him. And, you know, he's going into Minnesota this week. Remember the whole, he was a ball boy there for the Vikings. So I I certainly start him if he's active.
Michael Fabiano was before I get you out of here. Give us some guys you like, guys you're kind of, nah, not so hot on this week.
So the matchups are odd this week. So a lot of the big name players have really good matchups, and then the lesser players don't have great matchups, but you're probably not starting them. So just be smart and stick with your studs this week. At quarterback, we've mentioned Mariota. Now, Big Ben's playing on the road, and typically he's not good on the road. But he's playing the Browns, so I'm still starting him. At quarterback, I also still like Derek Carr, despite the matchup against Houston. Tyrod Taylor's a good play this week, and of course, Dak Prescott. You know, you didn't even mention my Cowboys, by the way, but we'll get that. We'll get back to that.
That could be. It's a weekly deal, Michael. They're playing so well. It's just a weekly deal. Come on.
Every week you start Dak Prescott, unless you've got one of the big four or five quarterbacks. Carson Palmer, I'm benching this week. Same with Joe Flacco. I called him a sleeper last week. He had a good game. I don't like him this week. And this is where I talk about how a lot of the sort of mediocre quarterbacks have all the bad matchups. Cutler, Bradford, bad matchups this week as well. At running back, you're starting LeGarrette Blount. You're starting Ware, Jonathan Stewart on Thursday night. Latavius Murray's an RB2 this week. At running back, sit him. Mark Ingram, bad matchup against Carolina. Todd Gurley, Terrence West, and anybody in New York, because the Jets are on a bye, Rashad Jennings, Paul Perkins, you're going to sit those guys as well. Neither one of them is producing. For the first time this year, I am telling people to start Julian Edelman.
Mm.
Well, that's what happens when you play the 49ers. I'm also saying to start Michael Thomas, Jamison Crowder, Dante Moncrief, and Kenny Britt is on pace for 1,200-plus yards. Pretty good, right, for a guy who no one drafted. And the sit-ems, well, there's big names here, Brad. DeAndre Hopkins, he's been terrible. And I'm not talking about what he can do on the football field. I'm talking about his numbers. And his numbers, it's the Osweiler effect, and it's not good. When your quarterback throws for 99 yards, you're probably not going to put up good fantasy notes. Jarvis Landry's been bad this year. Jordan Matthews has got a bad matchup in Seattle this week. Marvin Jones is not someone that I'm expecting to bounce back this week, especially based on what's a tougher matchup than you think against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, we talked about tight ends to play this week. Bennett's a must-start. Julius Thomas is a good play. If you need to replace Gronkowski, we mentioned Zach Miller, Jack Doyle, C.J. Fedorowicz. I wouldn't play Kyle Rudolph if I had depth at tight end. Not this week. He's got a bad matchup against who? The Arizona Cardinals, who have been really tough on tight ends. Jimmy Graham, Greg Olsen, Martellus Bennett, all did next to nothing against Arizona. Jason Witten, even though he is on the best team in the National Football League. I had to get that in. I don't like him this week based on the matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. So, you want to talk about how Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, you might see co-MVP, co-rookie of the years. What do you think about that
gosh.
One? There's a lot of Cowboys fans
you
in
know,
Arizona.
You know,
I know there are.
You know what?
There's a lot of Cowboys fans
Let
there.
Me just tell you, the last 2.5 minutes, Eric and I are looking at each other like, this is why you are the Hall of Famer. Just dealing it from the table. Just dealing it. But then you got to work in this Cowboys stuff. I mean, it's fine.
Listen,
it's fine. We'll have our hang-ups.
I'll tell you something. I was watching the game, and when Roethlisberger had the fake spike, I was screaming and yelling. Might have been a couple of curse words in there, and I'm thinking, well, we still got like 50 seconds left. 40 seconds. Maybe Dak can come in, and this will be his shining moment for the season. And sure enough, he gets us into the Steelers territory, and then Zeke goes, and I literally probably scared the heck out of anyone that lived within, a 2-mile radius of me.
Yeah!
No, it was go, go, go.
Go, go,
and
go!
It was fun. Even if you hate the Cowboys or you're just a football fan, that was a great game. That was a great game. It's probably the best game of the year.
It's not that I hate Cowboy fans. It's just they're insufferable.
The
they're insufferable. They have to remind me that they're around.
We had 12 losses last year, and we
and the year before, and the year before, and the year before, and the year before.
Not for nothing. Not for nothing. Okay. Over the last 2 decades, the Cowboys have been bad for most of it. Really, 2007. Yeah, in there. 2 years ago, and the officials with Dez Bryant's catch or non-catch in Green Bay. But to be honest, it hadn't been fun to be a Cowboys fan.
Okay,
for
so I'm going to ask you as a fan.
Now I've got something to smile about.
I'm going to push off the NFL Network hat on you for a second, and I'm just going to ask you straight up as a fan: if today Jerry said Romo's our guy, and Dak's going on the bench, you go crazy, but Michael, come on. At some point, you're going to need Tony this season. Don't you think? Little bit? Dak's going to get hurt. Something's going to happen. You don't think Romo's going to have to come out at all?
If Dak gets hurt, that's one thing, okay? He's not – best team in football. Okay, this kid does not look like a rookie at all. Oh. He's got ice water in his veins.
Here we go.
He's going into Green Bay and beating the Packers. He's going into Pittsburgh and beating the Steelers.
Ice water in his veins.
Why would they even think about taking him out of that starting job? If it ain't broke, don't fix it, and it ain't broke right now.
Do you have I'll let you go off this. Do you have a Romo jersey or a Dak jersey?
You know what? I have a Zeke jersey. Oh, and wow. Most of my Cowboys jerseys are, I have a Bob Lilly. I have a Tony Dorsett.
Oh, no.
I have a Roger Staubach. Like, these guys were playing, like, Dorsett I love. I got a Danny White, because Danny White and Dorsett are the two guys that I loved growing up. They sort of made me Cowboys fans.
Okay, we're going to...
Cowboys, my dad's side of the family is almost all Cowboys.
We're going to let you go off this. Counseling is over. It's been good talking to you this week.
There's no right, this week, watch, we'll lose to Baltimore. But it's been a fun ride.
See you next week. Thanks for the visit, as always.
All right, my friend.
It's Michael Fabiano there from the NFL Network. A little therapy today. It's what you have when the Cowboys are good, which is fine. It's fine. We can have we can get Danny White on the show. We can get Danny. That'd be kind of fun. Danny talking to, you know what? We're going to try to arrange that without letting Michael know. That'd be fun. Danny's right here in the Valley. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So the Suns are off tonight. They play Denver tomorrow. The Coyotes are off tonight. They play Calgary. Cardinals getting ready for Minnesota on Sunday. ASU plays at Washington. Here's the problem with ASU Washington. Washington now needs to impress the College Football Playoff Committee. And it's not a question of if they're going to beat ASU. It's a question of how much. And so Washington is in a space where they have to run up the score. Right, Eric? Would you agree on that?
I would think so. And Washington is just going to be, they're going to be grumpy. They got pushed around. They got manhandled. They got embarrassed on their home field last week.
The issue here, though, is, so Chris Peterson came down last year. And last time I checked, Byron Murphy was the number one player in the state.
He was.
And he went to Washington. And Daniel Bridgegad, the quarterback at Paradise Valley, was the number two or three quarterback prospect.
Yeah, a top five quarterback prospect.
And he went to Washington. So Chris Peterson has already come down here and has taken a couple away.
And he has, as you know, when he was at Boise State, he was down here all the time.
All the time.
So the ties are there.
So he's got ties. There's one part. The other part is, do I blame him if he drops 70 or 80 on ASU? And in this college football playoff, guys, like it or don't like it, I don't like scores being run up. I don't like it. But I cannot blame Washington if they get if the game gets out of control, which at Husky Stadium, a game can get out of control.
And let's call a spade, ASU's defense is really bad. Oh. So, I mean, Washington may not even be trying to run up the score. They might just get to 60
just by getting to 60. So Pat Forty, who is one of the, I would say, one of the leading college voices in covering college football. Pat Forty wrote this week in his column, headline, coach who should take the bus to work, Todd Graham. Put that in there. I'm going to read this from what Pat Forty put out there. Todd Graham, Arizona State with the Sun Devils 49-26 home mauling from Utah. Graham has made some dubious history. This was the first time since 1942 that ASU has lost four conference games by 19 or more points. The conference then, the Border Intercollegiate Athletic Association, the four teams that inflicted the damage were West Texas A&M, Arizona, UTEP, and New Mexico. This time, USC, Colorado, Oregon, Utah. At 2-5 in the Pac-12, Arizona State is suffering system failure. I mean, somebody's given this to Pat Forty.
It's so well said. Like, that's the one thing, that long text that you sent me this morning, I read through it, and that's the system failure is such a unique way of talking about what could be going on behind the scenes in Tempe.
The Sun Devils surrendered 11 sacks against Utah and 22 tackles for loss in one game. The Sun Devils have allowed 33 sacks on the season, which is tied for 121st nationally, and tied with South Carolina for most allowed by a Power 5 team. But the other side of the ball is probably worse. ASU is 124th nationally in total defense and 126th in yards allowed per play. But when you have something like this that is put out there, that Pat Forty didn't just wake up and say, well, what happened last night? Wow, ASU got crushed. Huh. When was the last time that they got crushed this badly was? Somebody somewhere, somebody that knows Arizona State, when you put in the little term there of system failure, that's not just somebody sitting on their couch and saying, well, I think I'm going to focus on what's going on over at ASU. You know, forget about that Michigan lost. Forget about Clemson losing. Forget about Washington losing. No, there's system failure going on in Tempe, Arizona. I mean, that's pretty damning on one hand because it is such a nationally known, respected voice of college football, A. B, it's pretty clear that there's somebody over there at ASU that doesn't really like what's going on, or somebody associated to the program. Because when you start putting stuff like this in the hands of Pat Forty's of the world, that's usually the first step of, we don't like what's going on here. And so it's like the perfect storm is building for ASU. Here you have Todd Graham. It's a nationally televised game. He's taking his beleaguered Sun Devils. We're going to hear all day long about who's missing and who's injured. But that's not going to mean a darn thing to Washington, who is trying to make it back into the college football playoff. The last thing Washington wants is a 20-19 game. They don't want a 31-17 game. They've got to do something where they raise eyebrows by saying, you know what? They had an off day. They beat ASU 66-10. You know, if ASU goes up there and wins, best win for Todd Graham in a couple of years. If you look back over the last few years, it's been a long dry spell. Their win-loss record against Power 5 teams. Just go look at their win-loss record against Power 5 teams. This isn't me hating. It's just a fact. Numbers don't lie. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up on our website right now at sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Thanks for being with us. We'll be right back.